Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the News Roundtable. Hi, my name's Quaid, and I'm joined in studio by Scott Hardy, pulling double duty again today, as Steve has pressing issues. So Scott,
I've got my bus driver hat on today.
Yeah, that's right. You're Batman. And you kept making the stops. This is a Seinfeld reference. My apologies. Point of note for tomorrow's show, we're going to be joined by Missouri Representative Sam Graves. We'll be calling in on the back half of tomorrow's show. And unfortunately, we're probably going to be talking about USMCA still, as it's been a year now since the president signed that, but we're still waiting for it to get through the House. We'll obviously talk where impeachment is going at this time, if it's even going at all. So those topics and others we'll touch on with Representative Sam Graves on tomorrow's News Roundtable. On the back half of today's show, yesterday was the day that legislators could put things together. Pre-filing is what they call it in Missouri, and pre-filing took place yesterday for the upcoming session that begins January 8th. So what will Missouri legislators be wrangling with? A lot of it is going to sound very familiar. So we'll touch on these things on the back half of today's show and let you know how they might be being altered or being approached in a little bit different way for 2020, as 2020 is an election year for everybody. That's coming up on the back half of today's show. First things first, in with all the latest from the WTAD newsroom, say good morning to Scott Hardy.
Good morning, Quaid. Oh, I'm sorry, I was in Batman. Good morning, Quaid. Good morning, everybody. The Quincy City Council has approved a first reading of an ordinance that won't raise residents' property taxes. City Council approved a first reading last night of the city's proposed property tax rate for next year. That rate will stay flat. City's share of a resident's average property tax bill is about 13%. The money from property taxes goes to fund police and firefighters' pension funds, as well as the Quincy Public Library and bond debt. City plans to pay $7.1 million into those pension funds, which is up $500,000 from last year. Of that amount, $4.8 million will come from the tax levy. The rest will come from other city revenues, including video gaming. Council also approved a first reading of an ordinance that would change billing for city water and sewer customers from quarterly to monthly. City engineer Jeff Conte explained the reasons for the change.
It's easier to pick up on leaks. Leaks don't go on for months at a time, and customers have these large bills. All in all, it's just easier for operating the water system and sewer billing, as well as for the customers to budget and to avoid high charges due to leakage.
If approved, the new billing would go into effect January 1st. City Council also approved a first reading of an ordinance that would set up an economic growth fund. Money for that fund will come from the 1% food and beverage tax narrowly passed last month. Quincy Plan Commission will hear plans from the proposed buyers of two former Quincy Elementary School buildings who want changes and permits to develop the buildings. City Council last night voted to send two requests from Bryce John and Blake Rupp to the Plan Commission. They want a zoning change for the former Madison School on Main Street. The Rupps want to convert the building into an apartment complex. They're also asking for a special permit for the former Adams School on Jefferson Street. The Rupps want to turn that building into apartments and office space. Plan Commission intends to hold a hearing on both proposals later this month. The Rupps submitted bids of $200,000 each last month for both buildings. That's after they went unsold at an auction. The city of Quincy has shut down water service to several residents in the city due to a water main leak. That, according to the city, that water service was shut off at around 8 o'clock this morning. It's estimated to be off until 4 p.m. for those on Sterling Avenue And that's 1217, 1222, 1302, 1303, and 1307 Emerald Drive. Once service has been restored later this afternoon, a boil order for those homes will be in effect. An overnight fire has destroyed a business in Niota, Illinois. Hancock County 911 was called around 12:30 this morning and told that the Niota Fish Market was on fire. Crews worked for several hours getting the fire out and left the scene around 5 a.m. The building appears to be destroyed, but an employee of the fish market told our news gathering partners at KHQA-TV there's still fresh fish in the walk-in cooler that wasn't damaged by the fire. Officials are investigating an early morning fire in Hamilton that forced several people out of their home. Fire crews were called around 2 a.m. this morning to a duplex in the 1700 block of Keokuk Street. When they arrived, they found an upstairs bedroom that was engulfed in flames. Crews with the Hamilton Fire Department were able to put out the fire. No one was injured. Although the fire does not seem to be suspicious, the Illinois State Fire Marshal's office has been called in to investigate the cause. Two people were hurt after the driver missed a turn on Highway 79, 6 miles south of Hannibal. According to the Missouri State Highway Patrol, 24-year-old Tyler Dixon of Hannibal was driving too fast to make a left turn. His SUV ran off the road and rolled several times before coming to rest against a tree. Both Dixon and his passenger, 22-year-old Cheyenne Griffith of Barrie, were both taken to Hannibal Regional Hospital with moderate injuries. Dixon was wearing a seatbelt while Griffith wasn't. John Wood Community College ranks among the top online fire science degree programs in the country. Jim Dewey reports.
Intelligent.com says John Wood Community College is a top-ranked institution which offers the best online fire science degree program. JWCC was listed among 29 other competing institutions across the nation. The longevity of the fire science program at John Wood has been recognized as a distinguishing factor. The program has been in existence since 1979 and has been offered online since 2001. According to JWCC, Intelligent.com is a student-focused comprehensive research guide. Intelligent.com analyzed 429 programs on a scale of 0 to 100. Each program is evaluated based on curriculum quality, graduation rate, reputation, and postgraduate employment. The 2020 rankings are calculated through a unique scoring system which includes student engagement, potential return on investment, and leading third-party evaluations. Only 29 institutions made it to the final list. JWCC ranked 17th. Jim Dewey, WTAD News.
That's the latest in local news. Of course, we'll have more for you throughout the afternoon right here on WTAD.com and also on our social media pages, including both Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, Quaid, it's sometimes as simple a gesture as wrapping a coat around a child and letting him know that he's not alone in the world. Just wanted to pass that along there.
Wait a minute. I remember that. You're not...
Okay. Bruce Wayne?
Yes, jump cut then. All right. Yes, we take in as much Batman as we can here at WTAD.
The Christopher Nolan Batman.
Yes, that's totally...
Let's get that straight there.
All right. Coming up on the back half of the show, things that Missouri legislators are going to be wrangling with come January 8th. Pre-filing started yesterday. We'll give you details when we come back on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
If in the spirit of the Nolan Batman movies, our voices get gruffer and gruffer by the end of the show, don't be surprised.
moles and trolls, work. And don't think that there wasn't work going on between the break today. It wasn't, not saying that it wasn't productive or enjoyable conversation, but we're still putting things together for our conversation with Representative Sam Graves on tomorrow's show.
It's always enjoyable conversation.
Sure.
Quite.
But we didn't get into any European football or any type of sports today. This was between the segments, it was very show-focused.
Wow, it was.
Yes, I know.
Wow.
It wasn't sandbox time.
Wow.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Well,
to the
now that we've got that out of the way for the week, then I'm feeling pretty good. Good.
Working for you. Welcome back to the News Roundtable, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Yesterday was pre-filing for the winter session in Jefferson City for the next legislative session. So some of the things that are already being put in line to be discussed. Remember, next year is an election year. So a lot of things may or may not, depending on, because it is an election year politically, that could be good for some issues, but bad for others. One of the things that has already been put on the list is gaming. And that shouldn't surprise anybody. This is a hot topic, not just in Missouri, but all over the country. Senator Denny Hoskins is got some legislation that is pointing towards legalizing and putting together regulations for sports gambling. We've talked about this before. His legislation also, though, will point towards video lottery terminals and would allow the Missouri State Lottery Commission to implement those video lottery terminals and control the licenses to operators and the retailers and other aspects of that. It would also allow the terminals to be placed in veterans and fraternal organizations, truck stops at establishments serving alcohol. Okay. Seems like an easy plug-in as far as that goes. As far as the gaming, one of the things you're going to hear attached to this is we need to get this done because this is education money that we're missing out on. So you're going to see a lot of the conversation and a lot of the urgency about getting the gaming legislation put in place and a bow put on it is because they want to have things in place for that extra money to flow towards education, at least that being the original plan.
So it's basically chasing the same money that they thought they were going to get originally from the lottery.
Because
that was the big, that was the huge sell when they introduced the lottery
and
back in
is.
The 80s.
Yeah,
and it still is, yes.
If you see the commercials for the Missouri Lottery, they are all pointing towards mm-hmm. the money that's raised for education. Expect the same type of angle to be pointed towards the sports game. Of course, we know Iowa already has their plan being implemented
right.
as it began before the college football season started.
With the app that you can only use in-state.
That you can only use in-state, and you have to go to an Iowa casino to get, quote-unquote, registered to place bets in Iowa. But yes, mm-hmm. you have to be within the state to place those bets. It's an interesting situation where each state is kind of finding their own way and what's right for them. One of the things I think that Missouri is going to run into is, okay, well, how much is, where's the sweet spot for revenue? Because you're going to hear, again, Missouri's going to talk about this, the revenue being for education, and that's fine. So where's that sweet spot where the casinos and the people placing the bets are going to be comfortable with the state's take? And as we've talked before, this is a problem where Illinois has no self-awareness when it comes to the state's take on things. They assume that just because it's there, people will partake of it. And I think we're going to find this out with the adult-use marijuana, that just because it's there, and initially, I think there's going to be that and not to take the attention away from Missouri, but just how Illinois and Missouri function differently and how their mm-hmm. approaches are different, how they view things differently. That Illinois will see an uptick initially just for the novelty of it. But once it gets to a settled area, I think the costs of how these things work, especially here in Illinois, are going to be a problem. And
well,
I think Missouri wants to try and find a happy spot. And that's really what you want. It's the Goldilocks zone of revenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why Chicago still does not have a casino, because nobody can figure out exactly who gets what amount.
Right. What's how do you break up the pie?
Right. The owner, the city, the state, they all
want a cut. They all expect a cut,
mm-hmm.
and they all expect a bigger cut, I think, than the other end, the private sector end of it is saying you can't expect that. Now,
right.
numbers-wise, in Missouri, you've got 13 licensed riverboat casinos. Obviously, age restrictions are something that they're going to look at as far as the sports gambling goes.
Will these video gaming things be boats on moats, too?
I don't know. I don't know if it'll be expanded out beyond that. I don't know. one of the things, the expectations, they had somebody from Major League Baseball come in and speak to the assembly late last month. And they talked about that Missourians bet $5.5 billion annually on sports. So if they keep it restricted to the casinos, they're expecting, the assumption is that the casinos would make $376 million a year from that. The state would take about 10%. So that would be $37 million annually. And I immediately, when I saw those numbers, I thought, in Illinois, we would go, non-starter, we need more revenue than that.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to need a larger cut of that pie. But when you do that, the private sector end of it says, well, all right, we're going to have to raise our end of it to cover your end of it. And at that mm-hmm. point in time, you're squeezing out the participant who says, I can just go to my neighborhood bookie.
Right. You forgot the laughter from the state at that figure.
And it's gone.
Exactly.
We already spent that. But who can I make some promises to, because this number is floating around out there, and they would like to get their hands on it, even though people already have dibs. So that's the number that's being thrown around. It'll be interesting to see if that number, that $37 million as an estimate, stays in that neighborhood come January and as Missouri moves forward. You've also got the issue, and I think we've touched on this briefly, the illegal slot machines that are here and there across the Show Me State. And are a tough thing to defend against, because you probably see them popping up at truck stops, at gas stations, at bars. One of the things that legislators, when they put together the pre-filing, said, look, and I want to quote them here on this. I think it was Chairman Shaw said, quote, what we want to do going forward is thread the needle on good legislation that, one, protects Missouri businesses, two, protects Missouri consumers, and three, allows people to do what they want to do at the same time. If you hear talk about these, and maybe they're already using this terminology in the Show Me State, you've heard them refer to the gray machines is what they're referring to them as. So when you hear talk about that, these are the, like, slot machines that you see popping up in places in Missouri where they're not legally allowed to be, but you have desire amongst Missourians to participate in these games, even though they're not at the casinos.
Right.
So you have a situation where there's revenue coming in, but the state's not seeing any of it, but you want to protect the businesses, you want to protect the gaming commission itself, and you also want to be able to serve the public, who obviously is showing that they want to participate in this at a certain level. So where does government insert itself? And that's where Jefferson City's, again, trying to find the sweet spot for getting that done. And it also, I found it interesting, the report on the gaming says this problem of illegal gambling is not likely to resolve itself. Thank you. It's not no, it's not going to. And one thing that we've talked about for years, almost since...
Resolve itself well.
This show and this show's predecessor have talked about, and it's a regular thing in Missouri, and I don't know that it's ever going to change, is infrastructure spending. Well, we've talked before, it was last year, that the gas tax did not pass in the Show Me State. This is going to be brought up again. Don't think that this is going away, because infrastructure in Missouri hasn't magically gotten better over the last year. Chuck Bayes will probably be behind putting legislation together on this. He says a lot of people say that probably not a good idea to put this on the ballot because it's an election year. They're against this type of stuff. But if you remember, a year ago, after the fact, when we talked to Missouri voters, they said they wanted it to be cleaner. They wanted it to be more focused. They didn't like how the wording of the bill was put together, because they weren't sure that the revenue raised from this was going to go to where it needed to go. So I think that's instructive to the Missouri legislature in Jeff City to really put something together for a tax increase that maybe isn't all of 10 cents. Maybe you could lessen it, make it 7 cents or 7.25, you know, find a half, again.
Or in steps over a longer period of time.
You could introduce a step thing, but have it, you know, have it cleanly point towards what this is going to and not defer it into other areas. And that's one of the things that Representative Bayes was pointing towards last time. It was, I won't say convoluted, but there are extra things that got that got glommed onto that piece of legislation that made people a little uncomfortable. And it shows that unless you're – and we've talked about this before. The catchphrase is transparency. You want it to be as clean as possible and let people essentially give it an up or down vote on a particular item. And a gas tax increase in Missouri, Missouri voters have shown time and time again, they want that to be as direct from point A to point B as it can be. And I think Representative Bayes has gotten that. Can he get everybody else in Jeff City on board and get this on the ballot for next fall? That's a completely different fight. That's politics.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. That is the Tuesday edition of the News Roundtable. Tomorrow, again, we'll be joined by Missouri Representative Sam Graves. We'll be talking USMCA, impeachment, infrastructure. Again, hey, it's Missouri. These are one of the things we talk about. So we'll be joined by Representative Graves on the Wednesday edition of the News Roundtable. We'll be here at 10. You should be too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.